Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found us remembering a great man.
Welcome back, Geeksters. This is issue 70. We don't like to get serious on this show, but we actually lost a very special part of the Geek Watch 1 family this week. So, Kylan, you want to let them know what's going on for this special issue?
Well, about a little bit more than a year ago, we had an awesome man. Our doctor on the show. He was our doctor. You guys, if you remember the issue where we talked about Doctor Who, Dark Journey, and we had a roundtable discussion, and there was a member of the panel. His name was Rick Shanteri. He is the Ninth Doctor. And so, not only that, he is also DJ Jack Burton. And I thought about this, and I'm going to say it right here, right now, that if he was my Jack, I was definitely his Wang. Okay. I'm just saying. You know what? And go watch.
I've never seen that movie. It makes it sound so much worse.
Go watch Big Trouble in Little China, and you will know what the heck. And you'll get it. But yeah, so he's DJ Jack Burton. He is Captain Jack Harkness. He is the Ninth Doctor, all those rolled into one. And he was fantastic. And so, all of us, the Geek Watch 1 family, Conan Cobb, Oddmall, we're all hanging out here together to talk about him and to remember the Ninth Doctor.
It was interesting because I don't remember exactly when I met him, but when you met him at a con, I met him at Conan Cobb. Was the first place Vicky and I was one of the early Con of the Cobs we were at.
What was the first one you guys were at?
I don't remember which one. I know it was at the old hotel. It had been 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, he was probably coming longer than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know when I met him, I think you introduced us, Heather, and you just introduced him, this is the doctor. And for like 3 or 4 years, I never knew his name.
That same
he was, every time we saw him, his name was the doctor.
Yeah.
I did not know his name until he added me as a friend on Facebook. And I had to go in because I had no idea who this Rick person was.
Interestingly, I went back and listened to the issue he was on, which was last July. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the ways he introduced himself when we asked everyone to talk about how they were Whovians and why they were on the show. He said he was pretty sure that more people knew him as the doctor than actually knew his real name.
Yep. Absolutely true. They knew him either as the doctor or Jack Burton.
Exactly.
Because when he was a DJ too, obviously.
He was our
DJ. For you guys. Yeah. But he actually had a professional DJ service where he also went by DJ Jack Burton, and he would wear the Jack Burton cosplay. So a lot of people knew him as one or the other, but not necessarily as Rick.
Right.
And actually, it was funny because Andy invited him. Andy and I, our birthdays are close together, so we usually have a conjoined birthday party. And Andy invited him to our birthday party one year, and Rick said, okay, well, what character do you want me to come as? And Andy actually said, how about Rick? I don't think I've met him, and I think I'll really like him. Yeah, but that's the thing. Rick pretty much embodied the Ninth Doctor. He was the doctor for so many things, and it was amazing because he wouldn't break character.
No.
Certain people, he wouldn't break character at all. And then sometimes you would see him doing that appraising stare at people, and you'd have to wonder, like, what is that other person thinking? Because I think this is fabulous.
Well, the first time I met him, because I probably met him in passing at Con the Con the first year I was with you guys.
Oh, you definitely
did. And,
did.
I knew I put his ad in the book because it's helping Andy with the book, but I never, realized who it was. So when I came to your party that year, I got here late. And he was and you introduced me, he's like, yeah, I'm the doctor. And then just, all night, and I'm like, so at the end of the night, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, did he party too hard? Does he really think he's the doctor?
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, by the end of the night, I'm like, no, I really think he might just be the doctor.
He looked like the doctor, yeah, so it fits.
Exactly. You know, I think we first ran into him at Con on the Cob, I think was first.
We first saw him at Con on the Cob, but didn't really meet him because we weren't working Con on the Cob
right
yet.
And that could have sworn he was Eccleston. That was, look, I was like,
you had seen Doctor Who before you saw him?
Yes.
Because Crystal hadn't seen him.
I was still new to all this. I didn't even know what Doctor Who was at the time. And he's like, he would say stuff and was expecting some Doctor Who response. I'm like,
Did you think he was an actual doctor?
No. Like, I had an idea, but I'm like, does he really, like, how far in is he?
Yeah, when I met him, I had watched Doctor Who, but I wasn't really in love with Eccleston's doctor.
Right.
Oh, I loved Eccleston's doctor.
Well, but it took me a while to get into it. And
right.
But, of course, the 10th Doctor was what really drew me in for the whole series.
Right.
But I appreciated Eccleston more after I listened to Rick talk about him.
Yes.
And his take on the 9th Doctor.
Yeah. See, that's what was amazing about him. He was so enthusiastic about the things that he loved, and he could spread that to other people. Like,
yes.
He brought happiness to everyone that he was around, and that was something amazing, and it's like a special gift that not everybody has.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of people say, and he and I used to have this discussion a lot during our Doctor Who panels, a lot of people say, if you're going to start Doctor Who, start with New Who, but skip Eccleston. And we would both say, no! Do not skip Eccleston. It's important to the foundation of the
character. You lose all the backstory.
Yeah. You can't. It's not just the backstory. You need to see the darker side of the Doctor to appreciate where he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Why he's
yeah.
there. And that's not to say that Eccleston is like an emo doctor or that he's more harsh than the others. It's that you have to appreciate that this facade that he puts on is covering up what's going on underneath
yeah.
in order
well,
to go
made,
forward
yeah.
with it. And that's all in the acting from
it
Eccleston.
Made more sense to me too after watching the anniversary one with the War Doctor.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh my God, Eccleston's version of the Doctor makes a whole heck of a lot more sense after knowing he was the War Doctor.
Well, interestingly enough, that's another discussion I had with Rick, because we would sit and talk Doctor Who a lot, obviously. A little bit. I actually, when you think about that episode in the context of how it was written, not how it was filmed.
Right.
Because it was written for the War Doctor's part to not exist, and that part was supposed to be offered to the Ninth Doctor. It was supposed to be Christopher Eccleston's, and he met with Stephen Moffat twice, once to get the script and consider it, and once to come back and turn it down. So then what Moffat did was he changed the Ninth Doctor's character in the script into the War Doctor and changed some of the mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back and watch the 50th anniversary episode, and instead of picturing John Hurt as the War Doctor, picture Christopher Eccleston in that spot as the Ninth Doctor, it will make you cry. It made me cry, and when I discussed it with him, he's like, yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because that is supposed to be Eccleston's doctor, and that's why he is so broken.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that kind of brings in something I said earlier today, that how Rick, what was awesome was, it almost, and everybody here can agree with him, that Rick, basically, it was almost like he cared more about the character of the Ninth Doctor than the guy who actually played the Ninth Doctor. Because you think he embodied this character.
It
I mean,
felt that way, yeah.
Because when Eccleston was doing it, if I remember right, they said he was doing it, it was just a role he was playing.
Yeah, it seems like there was like some behind-the-scenes stuff I guess where the subsequent doctors really embraced.
Right. Well, the subsequent doctors have, not Matt Smith, but David Tennant and Peter Capaldi, they both were major Whovians before they took on the part.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, and Rick is the one who taught me this, Eccleston had not seen any Doctor Who when he was up for the role. He watched one episode of The Fourth Doctor, and Rick would smack me because I don't remember which one it was. Don't hurt me! But actually, when Rick came to that birthday party, he showed that on the big screen in the SynHack makerspace while we were playing games there.
Is that the one that was like almost racist.
It's the Asian one.
Yes, that's right.
That's the one Eccleston watched a single episode in preparation for his audition. Ooh. And he watched just
and it's such a bad one.
It's not a good one to watch.
But if you watch that one, you get an idea of where Eccleston's interpretation of. So he takes four from that single episode and adds in this dramatic element.
I can see that because that's the episode where the doctor's almost taking on a Sherlock.
Right, and that is why Eccleston's doctor, especially in the beginning, is more standoffish, and I'm the super genius, and, obviously here's where the writers and creators of Doctor Who move on and do Sherlock, but you get the idea. that was definitely where the Ninth Doctor came from. Thank you for teaching me that, Rick, because I didn't find that.
It's funny because I remember at that Sin Hack, he was showing that plus just episodes of 9. He wasn't showing any others.
That's right.
And then he would walk by every once in a while, and whatever was playing on the screen, he would just say the lines as he was walking.
Arms crossed like 9, and he'd be walking through and he'd just repeat the line and then he'd say like the next line coming up and he'd move on through.
That's right.
Or dodge the wasps. Do you remember the wasps?
Yes, I do. We all kept looking up. It was like, where are the wasps?
No, if only that sonic screwdriver. I mean, a sonic screwdriver would have worked on a wasp, right?
No, it's a natural element. No,
it's
natural.
It's like
that's right.
It's a living thing. It doesn't work on living things and wood.
That's right.
Yes. That's because wood was living.
Wood was living.
Oh, that's right. So.
That's right. Actually,
now that makes sense.
you thought it was a Green Lantern thing.
That's where I was going. Was that the sonic screwdriver was originally a Green Lantern ring, wasn't it?
Now it makes sense. Okay.
Actually, Rick had, before I ever considered it, he had the beautiful like hero prop replica of the Ninth Doctor's sonic screwdriver. And for those of you not in the know, the Ninth Doctor's sonic screwdriver is the same as the Tenth Doctor's.
Yep.
Right.
And the Tenth Doctor, no offense, Rick, I still love the Tenth Doctor more, but Rick was my Ninth Doctor, and also the Ninth Doctor was my first Doctor, so you don't ever forget your first Doctor.
No.
True.
But I actually got, 2 years ago for Christmas, Andy got me the new remote control version of the scan from David Tennant's sonic screwdriver. So I have it now, and it's kind of crazy because it has two modes. It's got the remote mode where you can learn to run your TV. Battery's dead right now. And it's got prop mode where it will function the way it functions on the show. So if you know the hand movements to make it work that way, I mean, you know, there's a psychic connection, of course.
Right.
but if you know the hand movements, you can make it do the things that it does on the show. And Rick had all of them memorized. So he could make his screwdriver do all the proper things, and he would walk up to stuff when he was in character, and he'd be like, oh, jiggery pokery, and he would make it work. And he said, oh, I see you finally got your sonic screwdriver. And I said, yes, but I can't figure it out. And he tried to show me, and I failed miserably.
Well, you said when he's in character, but Rick was never not in character.
I know,
Rick. Yeah.
That's what made it so great was... Like Heather or Crystal and some of the others were saying, was when you first met him, it was one of those.
He didn't break character.
You start to wonder, is he right? Is something wrong with this guy? But no, he just loved the character that much.
No, he was just that good at
the
cosplay.
The reason he never broke character was because he partied so much and then he'd fall asleep. So he never had a chance. He was the one you would find sleeping everywhere.
Yeah.
Speaking of him sleeping at the end of a party, I have pictures from a couple of parties where he would fall asleep. And then we would put things on him.
Yes.
It's time to decorate Rick.
And then we would take photographs of
Gen Con. And he'd never wake up.
We did this at Gen Con a month ago, actually. And I have photographs. But what I used to do was, and he had no idea, I would do this. I was saving the photographs. And I would wait months. And then in the middle of a work day, I'd be like, today's a really crappy day and I'm bored. And I would just text the picture of something on Rick while he was passed out to him in the middle of a work day. Nice. And he would say, when was this? Well, there's a Santa hat on you. This must have been New Year's.
Yeah.
Well, Vicky was, I think you were telling me that the other day, one of those flashback things on Facebook popped up. And it was, wasn't it a collage or something of Rick through the, or someone was telling me it was Rick through the years. And what it was the same night she had, or Heather had a bunch of old New Year's stuff from multiple years.
Yes.
And she would take a picture, switch it, put the next year on it. Yeah. Switch it, put the next year on it, take a picture. So he never moved, but the years kept changing.
Yeah. he was a time traveler. I mean, that's appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah. Well, I just got the one. I'm not sure who took a picture of him with the White Castle.
I don't know. There's one with him with a White Castle burger on his head because No, that's this year.
Oh, okay.
Many people may not know, but Rick was actually very into eating healthy and taking care of himself because he lost a tremendous amount of weight. And he was very good at encouraging other people to do so as well. I don't know how many of you have seen before pictures of Rick. He didn't exactly share that with a lot of people, but he knew I was doing Weight Watchers and I had lost a decent amount. And so he showed me and I was absolutely blown away because he did a great job. But he was very good at encouraging other people. But apparently something about Saturday at Gen Con and White Castle was an exception to that, and I'm not sure why.
Saturday night, after gaming and partying and traveling through Indianapolis to White Castle. That should have been.
That should
have been a movie.
Looking back on it?
Right.
What were we thinking?
Here's what we were thinking. We had a really bad day the day before because that was the Indianapolis crime spree. Do not stay near the waterfront district or whatever in Indianapolis when Gen Con. Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it because in one day I had my debit card number stolen and someone tried to check into another hotel at Gen Con. I had my trailer.
Not a cheap one either.
No, not a cheap one. They were going to stay at the Hyatt, and I was way out of town in the waterfront district where there's crime. So, these people had higher standards
So you were anywhere outside of downtown. What we saw this year, there is everywhere outside of downtown Indianapolis is the crime spree district.
Apparently so. Yes. Stay downtown. It's expensive, but it's worth it. Pile 17 people into your hotel room.
Yes.
But we stayed out of town, and then our trailer was broken into, and while the police were coming for me to report that our trailer was broken into, someone tried to steal my car. And then I came back to the hotel room after I made the police report, and we had to buy a new lock for the trailer because although it was empty, I still didn't want people breaking into my trailer with my boxes from when we did break down.
Yeah.
After Andy and I fixed all of that, I came back to the room to discover that Kylan had discovered something not PG-13 inside of the fold-out couch bed at the hotel room.
There was leftovers from the persons before.
Use your imagination here. It was kind of terrifying because Kylan fished it out with his bare hands.
It was dark. It was dark. Yeah. I just looked. I saw a shape, and I... Yeah, you know, it was under the...
Curiosity gets you into trouble every time.
It was under the bed, the folding bed.
Just randomly
and I was just like, hey, what could this be?
Listeners, if you really want the story, email us, geekwatch1@gmail.com.
Right. So all of us had this really colossally bad... I think it was Friday.
It was Friday, yes.
And then on Saturday morning, we woke up and we were too scared to stay in the crime district, so we moved even further out of town because you can't get anything downtown. So we moved our hotel room that morning. We were exhausted. I had to park clear across downtown Indianapolis at the Chase parking deck because
One Direction
was in town and all of the parking spaces were taken up.
Yeah, we drove around the city for like an hour.
Yeah, and it was awful. So
I had an interview that morning.
I was parked across town in the Chase deck, and after Andy ran his game, Rick found us while we were running Low Life in the JW Marriott. And apparently he was not running a game at this point, and he was extremely happy because of the Savage Worlds announcement.
Yes.
That day. So he had his rolling case with him. And apparently he had found Kylan in a hallway, and Kylan was walking around with a drink that the doctor had prepared for him. And I said to Kylan, hey, where'd you get the drink?
Was he walking or stumbling?
No, wait.
I remember the story.
At the end of the story, you have to explain the case at the end of the story.
I will. So,
he had his TARDIS with him.
I said to Kylan, yeah. Hey, where'd you get the drink? And Kylan's like, Rick gave it to me. And I said, oh, do you know where it comes from? And Kylan said, no.
Hey, Kylan, you guys got to meet Kylan. You got to see the look on his face when he does these types of things. It's a total confusion. And he's like, wait a minute. Should I know?
Right. I didn't even think about where this came from.
You again, the curiosity.
You just have to introduce yourself to Kylan, and you're automatically a friend, and he will trust you, and you can give him anything.
No, it was Rick. It was Rick. So, like, I was like, I know Rick. Rick is not going to give me, strychnine, you know?
It's true. It was Rick. Everybody knew Rick, and everybody knew that he was a good guy, and everybody would trust Rick. Rick was that guy who would be there and help you out, or provide you with a drink from random unknown places.
With or without the coat.
So they Kylan and Rick kept coming in and giggle bombing our low life sessions as we were trying to finish up. What?
He sat down at that table and I go, what are you drinking? It was in a polar puck. I go, what are you drinking? He goes, rum and coke. But he laughed. He started laughing before he could even say it.
No, he couldn't say it.
The smell was the drink.
He couldn't say it.
That's all wrong. There's no coke. So,
after the game was over, I came out and found out that Rick was with Rose. And we kind of hung out in this little lobby area in the JW for a little bit. And somehow it was decided that everyone needed to go to White Castle.
Yes!
And I have no idea how, because I'm not a White Castle person. But
I'm not that big of a
White Castle. Lenny loves White Castle. And somehow Rick agreed to the White Castle, which is interesting because I know for a fact that Rose was being very careful about her diet at the time. And he was actually telling her that there was nothing there for her to eat. And yet he went up and got something to eat anyway.
Yes!
He actually did that. But what happened was,
I think Rose and I were the only ones who didn't get anything.
No, I didn't eat. I didn't eat.
Oh my gosh.
So what happened was, we broke into two groups. Those going directly to White Castle, which included Kylan and Crystal.
And Andy. Yeah.
But I ended up on the street. Right. I had to go back and get my car clear across downtown in the Chase parking deck. And I ended up with Rick and Rose, who had already been drinking, and he had the big case that he had to drag with him through downtown. And I said, hey, I'm really parked far away. Are you okay with this? And they're like, no, we totally want to go with you. You shouldn't be alone walking through downtown Indianapolis. So they were my escorts through downtown Indianapolis.
Drunken escorts.
That's right. And when we got to the parking deck, the gate was down, and it did not look like a parking deck. And I'm like, where is the parking deck? Did they take my car? And Mark's like, are you sure you came to the right place? And I'm like, no, this is the Chase Tower. This is totally my parking deck. And I had to buzz someone on the intercom, and he was making Doctor Who jokes. Like, I was buzzing someone a million miles away through the intercom. But I made them stay at the bottom of the parking deck while I went 7 floors up to get the car, because I figured there was no sense in them trying to go 7 floors up.
Oh my gosh.
But then we finally made it to White Castle, where, of course, Rick told Rose there was nothing there for her to eat. And then he had White Castles with Andy while the rest of us stared at him in this entirely packed 11:30 at night White Castle.
It was the scariest White Castle I've ever been to.
It was in the hood! It was awesome!
White Castle's always in the hood!
No, we're walking to this place and Andy's randomly talking to strangers on the street.
Yes!
Kylan and I are behind him. We're walking,
I don't belong in the hood! Wait, everybody. I was like,
Andy stops. Andy's walking along this big tall guy. And Kylan and I are coming up the back, and I'm hobbling because I have foot problems. And Kylan goes, who is that? And I'm like, I don't know. Andy stops at the sidewalk and he opens up his backpack and starts trying to sell the guy books on the street.
Did he sell it though?
No, because I asked him and he goes, no, he almost bought him. He said he was hoping that was gonna pay for a White Castle.
Yeah, Andy's always about, I need to sell something so I can go to dinner or whatever. It's funny. The But this White Castle literally had a fence all the way around the parking lot with barbed wire on top of it.
It was so scary.
We walked through the jinkiest parts of town, I swear.
Well, it was directly across from the bus station.
Yes!
If that was a crazy post office. And behind it was like, I don't remember, was it a Mercedes factory or something? I kept joking. It was the post office, too. Was it Mercedes? I think it was the post office.
And the, oh god,
yeah, like, was it like Bentley or Mercedes Benz?
Something like that, yeah.
It was like a giant car factory behind it, and I kept joking that the car factory had put the fence up around the White Castle because they didn't want White Castle people near their hot dogs. But all of us sat there watching Rick and Andy eat, like, wait in this giant line in the hood packed
and, like,
White Castle, and then we watched them eat their White Castles. And then
Rose was going around cleaning up after people.
Yeah, nobody would do it. She was cleaning other people's tables. If you know Rose, she's like very type capital A. But it was funny because she was going to like other tables and cleaning up stuff while we were waiting. And then we had the discussion about alignments. Like who is what alignment or whatever. Because Rose was like, no, I don't know anything about, like, what alignments or whatever. And which is interesting because she plays a lot of role-playing games. But I guess maybe classic D&D alignments or whatever. I don't know. It was kind of an inebriated discussion for everyone but me. So I'm really not sure. But I told her, I was like, no, Rick is chaotic good. Like, he's very, like, it doesn't matter what's going on, he's chaotic good. That's why he and Andy get along so well, because they're both chaotic good. You're chaotic neutral. Like, which she really isn't, but it was hilarious, because then somehow Rick's like, oh, we have to go, our Uber is here. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes, I remember the Uber. I was like,
and we stood outside the chain link fence with the White Castle, and a random car pulled up, and Rose and Rick got into the random car, which I guess was their Uber,
right,
and drove away. And I was like, how do we know that's their Uber?
I was gonna say, was it an Uber?
They got into whatever car stopped.
He said it was their Uber. He knew what the car would look like. So, but they survived, so it must have been.
The funny thing is, you were talking about he was walking through Indianapolis drunk, dragging this wagon behind him that was his case.
Well,
you told us about this TARDIS case. Now, this is a TARDIS, listeners. You gotta let me describe this to you.
If you know cosplayers, a lot of the people who do armor, like the 501st, they have these really heavy-duty plastic cases on wheels with like a handle for pulling, almost like it's luggage, but they're really big and thick and heavy duty. And Rick would take that to cons with him, and on the top layer, it would have things like, when he gave me my TARDIS key, it was inside of the top layer of the case, but he would also have like his information for whatever game he was running or reference books would be right there on the top layer. But if you took that layer out, then underneath it's a rolling bar. And that is the thing. That's the thing that Kylan did not know about and was just randomly accepting drinks from, not strangers.
No, not strangers.
But randomly accepting drinks that were produced
from a Time Lord. I trust a Time Lord. So, you know.
But that's the thing. Rick was the doctor, so it's fine. Yes. I mean, he'll guide you in this direction. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you know where that came from. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
You should always trust the doctor.
Never trust the doctor because the doctor lies.
Yes. Well, that's what makes sense that his rum and coke is pretty much just rum.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I put it to you like this. I saw Kraken.
Mm-hmm. That's all he has to say is I saw Kraken.
I saw a bottle of Coke. And you know, they were in close proximity.
They were in close proximity. That's all that matters.
I don't remember actually watching the pouring of it. I think I got distracted.
The Kraken got a little bit of Coke by osmosis.
Yeah, that's right. Next thing I know,
you're having a good evening.
Yes. It was,
oh my goodness.
Things were so funny. Everything was funny.
Right.
You know, then Rick tells me about. He was all excited, and he tells me about the news about Savage Worlds, and then you confirmed it, then all of a sudden I get this idea, oh, I'm gonna break a story, and then I did.
And what's great is Kylan's like, I need to break this story, and I'm like, I know the guy who got the licensing. You want to talk to him?
See, I
was a true journalist, guys. I was getting a story while I was drinking. This was a candy cigarette hanging down my mouth.
For you, it'd be like a candy cigarette.
Yeah, it did. My little candy cigarette was not in my mouth at that point. But that was okay.
Like chunk. You know, they still make them, and it kind of depends on what store you go to.
It depends
what
label. Kind.
Yeah. Captain Island still buys them.
You know what? Compressed sugar in any form, thumb up.
But we needed to smoke in one of my theatrical things, we would always go get the candy ones.
Yeah.
And for some reason, by the end of the night, we'd be running out of candy cigarettes.
Well, yeah, you know what?
I like the bubblegum ones because if you blew on them,
yeah,
they'd actually have a puff come out of them.
Yeah, that was
first blew.
I remember
that. They had cornstarch on them or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out of all my packs of candy cigarettes.
I know
right
where to get them.
Kyla needs to stop and pick up a carton on the way home.
You know what? We should buy a whole pack of them for Con on the Cob since it's the Cobsters.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
there you go.
So it seems like White Castle's a theme here. Because this year,
that's right.
Vicky and you were with them, and White Castle was there again.
It's a tradition.
I am so sad.
It's not a tradition. Rose and I are dead set that it's not a tradition.
It just keeps happening.
Well, this year, it was kind of interesting because we were carpooling with Ken and Vicky to Gen Con. So we were in the van, Andy and I, and Ken and Vicky were in their car behind us. And we had just gotten back on after, like, stopping for gas or something. It was between
Columbus and Indy.
Yeah.
We hadn't even made it to Dayton yet.
No, we hadn't made it to Dayton. And I noticed there was a blue... Andy actually said, hey, it's a blue truck up there. And I said, it has Gallifreyan on the back. That's Rick's truck. It's the TARDIS.
Yeah.
So Andy goes, catch up to him and make him notice us. So I
for the 5 to 10 minutes before that, she even noticed that, we had noticed Rick in front of us. And we were looking up. It's like, that looks like a familiar truck in front of us. And he was behind them. So she's furiously trying to text Andy and Heather, hey, look behind you. Look who's behind you.
Andy says, catch up to him. And, like, I totally forget that Ken and Vicky are following us. I lose my mind. I'm like, catch up to the doctor. So I start going like 80 to try and
which is impressive, towing Andy's trailer behind her.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was the van, but the van
was the van,
and Andy doesn't let me change the van off of economy mode, which would actually give it more horsepower. I'm a car person, he's not. I'm like, more horsepower. He's like, fuel efficiency.
More horsepower.
It's his car, so he gets the fuel efficiency. So, I started speeding up, and we were doing, like, 80 or whatever, and he said, can you pace them so I can, like, look in the window and catch their attention? And I'm like, pacing somebody at 80 miles an hour running down the highway. Sure, no problem. I actually have pretty decent driving skills that I don't let on a lot, but... We did that, so we came down in the middle lane and, like, paced him, and Andy's, like, flagging people down, and Rose sees us, and she, like, taps Rick because he's driving, and they're like, oh, you! So, like, we sort of played leapfrog around each other for a while, and Ken and Vicky in tow, so we were all, like, high-speed drag race caravan.
The cool thing was, if anybody's not, Rick had the coolest, he actually had a rolling TARDIS for his truck. I actually, for New Year's Eve, I think it was last year, I had to move his truck because he was sleeping already. But he was parked behind people.
Uh-huh.
So I had to move his truck. But you get in, it's blue TARDIS blue, and it's got the signs on the side that are the police box signs.
Right.
But you start the key, and this had every light you could think of inside this truck. It looked like a spaceship. He has video displays. It was what you'd expect, think of Knight Rider. The kit in the 80s, and it was all in blue, and it was telling me everything on demand. I could tell you what was going on in Vietnam at the. this was crazy. It was phenomenal. It was like
Unit technology.
F-150, but it was the extended cab, like the cab, where there was actually room for an adult human in the back seat instead of just kids. But I can remember when he was planning on that, and I don't know if he ordered it or if he bought it off the lot. He might have ordered it.
I think he ordered it because of some of the options packages that were on there are not stuff you normally get on the lot.
He after I got my, I have a black Dodge Journey, and I had planned that journey for a long time until I could afford it, because I wanted it to be my Torchwood mobile, because it's a black SUV, and I got my license plate Torchwood, and like,
No, it's
Churchwad. Everybody says it's Churchwad because it's T-R-C-H-W-O-D. Don't look me up in the things now. I'll put it on my license plate. But, so I ordered it and I put, like, Torchwood parking stickers on it and whatever. Mm-hmm. And
you sure
Rick thought that was the coolest thing. And then, like, 3 or 4 months after I got my car, he's like, so, I'm planning on getting a TARDIS to drive. I'm like, okay, well, what are you doing here? So we talked about it, and I helped him decide on his license plate, and his license plate was TARDIS with a 9 in the middle of TARDIS, because TARDIS was taken, and TARDIS 9 was taken, and 9 TARDIS was taken, but it was TARDIS with 9 in the middle. And yeah, he would, at Odd Mall and Con on the Cob, he would go to all of our, like, sticker and decal vendors and see if they had anything Doctor Who that he didn't have. And sometimes he would have them make new stuff on the spot to put on his truck.
Yeah.
And actually, his bike was the Vortex Manipulator, and the license plate on it was Vortex.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that perfectly suited him, absolutely. But that's the only reason I knew it was him on the highway.
Yeah, you couldn't miss his truck.
You can't miss
his truck, for sure.
Right, you can't miss it.
Did it have the light on top, too?
Yep.
Yeah.
It had the light on top of it, yeah.
Yeah, which I find interesting, because as a former police officer, he should know that it's technically illegal to put those lights on civilian vehicles.
Yeah. Blue and red, you're not allowed to have.
Yeah.
White, green, yellow, whatever you want to do,
yeah,
that's
but,
fine.
Yeah, but his was blue, and it was
light.
I know.
Yeah, he would turn the lights on. Like, at my birthday party, he parked it in the driveway.
Yes.
And the lights on.
I remember he was so excited about when he first got it, because
dragged
me outside to see it.
He showed everybody.
That's
right.
Everybody.
He's like, did you see my light?
Excited.
I finally got my
that
light.
That would have been and tippy to go outside.
That would have
but
been
it
that
was
first
He made sure I didn't fall down the stairs.
Yeah.
So it was all right.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Rick, too, always looking out for you.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, no matter what was going on, he would make sure that you were okay first.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he would take care of whatever it was.
Right. Well, I remember it was, what, over a year ago when Geek Watch 1 decided that we were going to do a party at Con on Cobb. And I was like, well, there's only one person I know of that I would want to be a DJ. And I said, well, I'll ask him. And then he said, well, sure. And I said, You know, what kind of pricing? And then when he told me, I was like,
yeah, needless to say, he hooked us up.
Yeah. And I was just like floored. And, you know.
And we thought we were just like, if he comes in with the music and some speakers, we're good to go. He brought like
brought the whole.
He had everything.
You guys didn't know he had like the whole professional.
Well, we knew he was the professional side of it, but we didn't, you know, we
didn't
figured
expect
for
him
us.
And the whole
you know,
kid,
just
they're
a
talking.
Bit of it.
It'd be a
speakers, mix boards, everything else, all the lighting.
Flashing lights,
everything. We didn't have to light the room because he had everything
he
needed.
Had everything. And I'm just like...
We had to keep turning the music down because he got real loud.
I was just like...
The room was so hot that you didn't want to be in there for too long when you were dancing. So when the music was loud, you could just dance like
right
And I'm sitting there like... And like, oh, my feet hurt, my legs hurt, I can't dance anymore. And dadgummit, he's like, the
he
next
one. Oh,
he had, like, such an extensive knowledge of music, like, for decades and decades of music. Like,
yes.
I would be out with him, and I would say, oh, I don't like this song, what is it? And he'd be like, it's Def Leppard, that's why you don't like it.
But
like, he knew what I liked and knew why I didn't like it.
Yes.
It was really interesting.
Play to the crowd. Like, he knew
what
songs would
absolutely
go over well with the crowd.
And no offense to other DJs from Con on the Cob, but my absolute favorite DJ set ever at any year of Con on the Cob was totally Rick.
He got me on the dance.
Yeah, that's
Kylan said after the party last year, that's what he was saying, is the fact that, like you were saying, your feet were hurting and then you got to get back up, because as soon as you start to come down, he'd play one cool down song and all of a sudden he's got six more that you cannot sit down for.
Right?
And
it made it very difficult recovering from being broken.
He was like
to dance. You know, chair dancing just wasn't doing it for me.
He was like the main the merciless of DJs, like, oh, you want to relax? Okay, how about that?
I
want to sweat!
We didn't finish the Gen Con story, though.
Oh, no,
we
did.
We ended up having to, like, I had to get off to go to a rest area or something, so we broke up with Rick and Rose, and they went on into Gen Con, and we eventually made it in and had to do vendor load-in, which takes a different amount of time and whatever. So I texted Rose and we set up to see them on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So Vicky and I went over and hung out with Rose and Rick and Brian on Saturday night at, I don't even remember the name of the place.
We had a GPS just to get there.
Yeah, we had a GPS and I'm like, I don't know where this is. I'll just put it in the GPS. So we found it and we went to hang out with them. And then eventually, actually it wasn't that long because I'm a super flippin' lightweight. At any rate, eventually we ended up moving from the bar to their hotel room, which was just across the street.
Yeah.
And when we were in their hotel room, for some reason, the hotel room next door, of course, like, Rose and I were saying, ha-ha, no White Castle this year. Like, cheers! And then the people from the hotel room next door were like, do you want White Castle? Because we bought all this White Castle, and we're not going to eat it.
That's like angels from heaven. Calm down.
So,
it's a party angel.
So Andy, or Rick, because Andy wasn't there in the beginning, Rick was going to the party next door and like bouncing between, which apparently all they had were like White Castle, and I think he was like texting people when he was out in the hallway. So they had like White Castle over there, and we're watching, I guess, Men in Black, because some guy from that party kept coming back to our hotel room and saying, my roommates are boring, I'd rather hang out over here.
Oh, that's the same place. Vicky got the Vicky got some interesting video of, she has her final video of Rick was an actual family friendly version of Andy teabagging Rick. And it's totally family friendly.
It is 100%
if you can figure
friendly.
Out a way to do that family friendly, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Show
it was
them the video.
Except I was saving the pictures and video to send to Rick later in the middle of a work day, and that didn't happen. So enjoy it if you see it.
This one I think we may have to put up on
Rose
somewhere.
Has many, many pictures also from that evening. And then Angela Murray from Gnome Stew. She posted a picture or two of that room because she was sharing a room with Rick and Rose. She took pictures and posted them on Facebook of that night. I absolutely love the picture there because I have an insane smile and I don't even know what Andy is doing, but he's doing something strange with his hands, but it's a great picture. Thank you, Angela.
Is that the one where Rick is sleeping? Because there's one picture I saw on Facebook
he's
where
sleeping in the corner of the
sleeping.
That's the picture. That's the picture. Thank you, Ange. It's actually a very good picture. If you don't know Angela, she's a convention fixture. She is an amazing GM who runs nonstop. Rick used to do that
yeah
too.
That's I heard about that because
he's like the number one GM for Cubicle 7. Yeah, he did a ton of hours of GMing at Origins this year, and I think he ran maybe all of their Doctor Who at Gen Con, two slots a day every day this year.
That's I told them I saw Rick driving by us when we drove up there. I think we saw him one other time in a hallway or something, and that was it. The entire Gen Con, I didn't see him anywhere. I never.
Yeah,
ran
we
into
saw
one.
Him when we were waiting to get our passes.
Yeah,
he literally gave himself, other than meals, two free slots that weekend. I think because there was the one where he was walking the dealer hall, and I took a picture because there was this excellent Pork Chop Express, like an actual semi truck, and then they put like a big cardboard trailer on it that you could graffiti.
Yep.
But it had some pre-graffiti to look correct to Big Trouble in Little China. But I took pictures of it before the dealer hall opened, and I texted it to him, and I'm like, did you bring your Jack Burton? Because you totally need to get pictures in front of this. And I don't think he did, because he didn't have a lot of time in the dealer hall, but he made the rounds at the dealer hall and stopped by the booths of all the people that he knew, because that's what he would do. He would, like, even Crystal at craft shows. Like,
yeah, I did a craft show in Powell in the spring, and Greg had said something, you know, like, hey, you know, because, you know, Greg wasn't sure, like, where in the area he lived and stuff. And he's like, hey, you know, we're going to be down in that area, you know, if you want to stop by, maybe we can get lunch or something, you know, lunch or dinner or something. And he was busy or something that day, but he stopped over anyways, like, it's like all, like, soccer moms and, like, strollers. And like, totally not, like, even we were like, And he waited, it was so packed, I just remember, like, and he's so tall, right, so... He's, like, over top of, like, all these soccer moms. He came and walked around the whole place, like, looking for us. It was so cute.
Nice. In the soccer moms, though, did he have on his biker nine?
Yes. Yes.
For those of you who don't know, Rick had two Ninth Doctor costumes, ostensibly. The one that was authentic to the show, and his jacket was extremely heavy and authentically made to be a replica of Christopher Eccleston's.
And he would wear it all day.
And he would wear this extremely heavy nine jacket with the sweater jumper, the little V-neck, and the different colors underneath of it all freaking day. Those were very heavy and very hot. And one time he said, "No, this is authentic. Do you want to try it on?" And I said, "Of course I want to try it on." So, and it was so heavy. Like, my shoulder dislocates all the time. I'm sure if I wore that jacket, it would dislocate my shoulder. It was very heavy.
But he never made it look like it was heavy.
No, it was natural.
No, he would just glide with that thing on as if it was nothing.
I made the first time I did my 10th Doctor cosplay, and I was, like, complete. I had everything, suit, coat, everything, and I was walking around Jonas Knight wearing this.
It's heavy.
And it was heavy, and I was sweating. And I walk up to him, you know, and we do like, "Oh, doctor, doctor, doctor." Yeah. And I was like, "I don't know how you do this, because you're wearing leather, and I am wearing, you know, 100 pounds on me, and you don't look like
leather and like a knit sweater, jumper,
in springtime."
I know.
Yeah,
and he pulled it off like it was nothing. But then, after he got his bike, he decided to do a Ninth Doctor biker interpretation. And he actually messaged me, and he's like, "So I'm going to do this Ninth Doctor with a biker vest." And I'm like, "Oh, you're going to make like a Time Lord biker cut? That's awesome, you know?"
Yeah, his vest was amazing.
And I sent him some images of patches that I had seen, and he sent me images of what he was thinking of. And he asked me to sew it for him. And I was terrified. Like, it took me like a week to think about if I was going to sew the patches on for him, because I was utterly terrified that I would put a hole in the doctor's leather jacket that I would have to fix later. And you know, you can't fix leather. There's going to be a hole there. So eventually I turned it down because I was too scared that I would like mar the doctor's vest. But he had it done, and it was really nice. It was the most authentic interpretation, I suppose, of like a Time Lord biker vest that you would ever see.
It makes you want to see that on the show now.
It's like, yeah.
It kind of does.
Like,
yeah.
Like in Gallifrey, somewhere in Gallifrey, are they like, is there like a motorcycle club? And
there's got to be somewhere.
Yeah. For being the rebel.
Right. Exactly. No, interestingly enough, after he had done that, just last year, we hooked up with they're a nerd biker club out of Talmadge.
I've heard
awesome
about that
as well. And when I told them about Rick, they were like, "Really? I must see this." And I don't know if they did, but I'm sure that they've seen pictures at some point or another.
Oh yeah,
man.
Rick was an awesome dude.
He was. You know, it's a. Yeah, it's doesn't feel real. Still doesn't. You know, but you know, and I think back to when I first heard. And I just, all the thoughts and things started coming back. And, you know, that the thing is, like, for me, Rick is the Ninth Doctor. Like, the Ninth Doctor is my first Doctor, okay? And like Jesse, I'm more of a 10, right? But I met Rick. I got to know Rick. And he made me care about the Ninth Doctor at that point. I felt like Rick was the more authentic interpretation of the Doctor for
me. He was so vested in the character, and he knew so much more of the story that he would explain to you, and why so many of those episodes were important.
Right,
and everything that it made you care about the character.
Yes.
And for him, the new Who, starting with the Ninth Doctor, was not his introduction to Doctor Who.
No.
He had been watching Doctor Who probably his entire life, like from early
70s.
Yeah, early classic Who. He had definitely been watching it that whole time, and he said he remembered it from when he was young. But the reason New Who was extremely special to him is because that's what he got to share with his kids.
Yeah. Yes.
And that kind of brought it back around and made it more important and even more special to him.
You know, there is something about that, because I remember a couple years ago we got to introduce our nephew. And our nephew was, he's just engrossed. Like, well, because BBC America on Christmas Day
has, well, no, they'll have a doctor
they show everything.
Marathon leading up to the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
And so our nephew was just sitting there, and he's just engrossed in the show, and he's turned around and he's asking us questions, and he's back to watching the show, and they'll ask more questions, he's back to watching the show, and I'm just like, I got it at that point, because right. I'm just like, it was just...
It made it even more fun.
Yeah.
Even though we'd seen the episode a couple, it was a Cyberman episode, I remember that.
Yeah.
Because that's what got him. He was like, there's robots! Yeah. Like, that's what got him, and then we got to explain it.
Yeah.
And it made it more fun, even though we'd seen the episode 3 or 4 times already.
And we, and you know, trying to explain Daleks to an 8 or 9 year old.
Yeah. It's like, no, they don't really look like that. What do you mean they don't look like that? Well,
that's kind of like their tank.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But I think it's kind of like amazing how Rick lucked out with the fact that Chris Eccleston played the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just the fact that he looked almost exactly like him.
That's right.
And was able to do... And I'm not saying that if it had been a different actor, he wouldn't have cosplayed him anyway. But just the fact that they looked almost identical, and you'd think, yeah, that's the Doctor.
Right, exactly. And when we were talking about, like, first times that we met Rick, I met him before he cosplayed the Ninth Doctor. And I didn't think about it. Because mm-hmm. I was running stuff at Con on the Cob, and I checked people in, and I recognized the name, and that's just the way it is. But then later, I can remember maybe like a year or two after that, I saw someone cosplaying the Ninth Doctor turn the corner. And I'm like, was that... That looked really authentic. Like, that's pretty impressive. And it wasn't a case of, oh, there's someone cosplaying the Ninth Doctor. It's like, that is so authentic. I don't even know if that was like Christopher Eccleston who just walked around the corner.
Right, yes, yes.
It was extremely authentic, and more so, I think, for all of us who knew him, because he was so upbeat and yeah. so fun and engaging and funny, hilariously
oh yes.
funny all the time. Somehow he could take really bad jokes and make them hilarious.
That was the one thing. I saw someone post that they would miss his dad jokes in the timeline on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
All he did, he would have a run of about 20 of these
yeah.
jokes
yeah.
suddenly pop up in the timeline. All the bad puns and dad jokes and everything you could think of.
He used to do that, especially, I can remember, the first time I saw him post something like that on Facebook, it was like 7 of them in a row. And
yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? Why am I getting all these updates in my... And it's like just joke after joke. And apparently he did that a lot when he was at the gym too. He would just post jokes in between.
Yeah.
It was pretty...
And I would die laughing because I thought they were hilarious.
Every once in a while he'd start telling this story in his status as if something was going on and something was wrong, and then at the very end it's all an elaborate
joke. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke. Yeah.
And I'm just like,
That's right. You've
I would,
been
I would
told.
Get funny
yes.
looks at work because I'll just start laughing and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like,
See, and you can't explain it.
Explain it.
Like, you try to explain it, it's just gonna go over like lead balloon, like just
it's
never,
true. It's
you
true. You've been trolled by the Doctor and it's hilarious.
Yes.
But that was the case. He was never just Rick. For all of us, because of the person that he was outside of his cosplay, he was very much our Doctor.
Yep.
Yes.
So it's almost like an entire group of companions losing their Doctor. So it's been an interesting week, to say the least. But the most surprising thing is so many of his friends and family even have reached out and said, you know, Rick absolutely loved you guys. You were a big part of his life. And it was something special. So, you know, keep it up. And we've sort of all reached out to each other
mm-hmm.
and been very supportive. And, you know, despite the fact that we lost our Doctor, this group of companions is not going anywhere.
No.
We're all going to be here for each other. And we're all going to remember the wonderful things and experiences we had with Rick.
Well, I think that we're coming up on where a pretty good place to let this go. But I do want to let you geeksters know, we've talked about how Con on the Cob is a great place for parties. We've talked about how much we had so much fun hanging out and partying with Rick. Well, Con on the Cob, somehow this year, it may be our party. It may be some, but at Con on the Cob, we are going to have the biggest send-off goodbye for this guy anybody's ever seen.
Yeah.
So come out to Con on the Cob, hang out with us, and help us say goodbye to our Doctor.
Consume large amounts of rum with me.
Everyone bring their favorite rum.
That's right. The plans are in the works. This is going to happen. It's going to be a Con on the Cob. It's November. What's the dates? We have the people who actually should know this sitting here.
Mid-November.
It's the second weekend in November. I know
November
that.
10th through the 13th.
Okay.
There we go.
In Richfield, Ohio.
Yes, I
go to conofthecop.com, right?
Yeah.
To get all the info on where it is. You'll get all the info there. We're gonna do something special for Rick there. Plus, we're going to have the true send-off for this for our doctor there
That's
at
right.
the party. So I know it's not a normal closeout, but guys, if you have any questions, get a hold of us at geekwatch1.com or go to geekwatch1@gmail.com. But other than that,
if anybody has any special memories of Rick to share, definitely hit up the geekwatch1 email.
Yes, at geekwatch1@gmail.com.
Or the Facebook page, and we may do something possibly at the party or not, but it would be wonderful just to share special memories of him.
Yeah, I will collect all of these
like
and
pictures
keep them together.
And
yeah, even if you have any
like
pictures
can,
and stuff to send us, I'll save
like
them
a,
all together.
Make like a big wall. That'd
yeah.
be fun.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Definitely ideas like that, yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up.
Yep.
So, Geeksters, next week we'll be back to a normal GeekWatch 1, just like you're expecting. Thanks for hanging out with us and helping us celebrate the life of this fantastic guy and a really close friend and member of our family. So, Geeksters, just remember.
You just listen to the old Pork Chop Express here now and take his advice on a dark and stormy night when the lightning's crashing and the thunder's rolling and the rain's coming down in sheets thick as lead. Just remember what old Jack Burton does when the earth quakes and the poison arrows fall from the sky and the pillars of heaven shake. Yeah, Jack Burton just looks that big old storm right square in the eye and he says, "Give me your best shot, pal. I can take it."